Maestro Vladimir Yurovsky, welcome back to Philadelphia.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here, and this is a really exciting, varied program. Can you talk a little bit about how it all fits together?
Well, of course, the connections between the pieces are always important for me. So in case of Mozart and Strauss, this is pretty clear. Mozart was Strauss's god. And like Mozart, Strauss engaged both in the symphonic, chamber musical, and operatic activities. And interestingly, you can hear the traces of operas of the both composers in both pieces. And with regards to the contemporary piece, I think Julian Anderson hasn't got that much to do with Richard Strauss, though his usage of the lush orchestral colors is often very similar to the one of Strauss, but his language, his vocabulary as a composer goes back to Stravinsky much more than it does to Strauss. It's a kind of post-Rite of Spring. But interestingly, both pieces have a direct relation to things, nature, particularly the sun.
Okay, so we're about to hear the Strauss, also Sprach Zarathustra. This is a really big work, and you can appreciate it, it seems, as you can with many great works of art, on various levels. There's the reference and the tribute to Nietzsche. There's Strauss's own take on these subjects. And then there's this musical interplay between the key of C representing nature and the key of B representing man. So how do you approach it?
Well, it's an interesting question because my approach has been evolving over the many years that I've known this piece. And then when I started conducting it, I was trying to approach it from a purely musical point of view because I always thought that Strauss would put on this program music hat. But in fact, he was really a 100% musician in everything. And I'm still convinced he was. But now, after several years of performing this piece, I've started looking for new inspiration as to a better understanding of what's inside. And after having conducted last year the opera by Strauss, Fraune Schatten, at the Met, which is based upon a fairy tale by Hofmannsthal, but which is strongly influenced by the philosophy of Nietzsche, mainly about the idea of the eternal recurrence and also the idea that the human being has to overcome itself in order to become superhuman. And that brought me back to the Nietzsche's book, which I read when I was a student, and then I kind of left it alone. Now I have come back to it. And at the moment, I'm reading it both in the original German, which is for me like my second language after Russian, and I'm reading it in parallel in the modern English translation with the commentaries.
Do you think that Strauss was interpreting Nietzsche's book, or was he taking Nietzsche as a starting point so that he could express his own thoughts about these universal subjects?
I don't think, honestly, Strauss had any thoughts of his own on any universal subjects. I remain with my previous opinion that he was predominantly a musician. I think he felt simply inspired by the thoughts of this other great man. And with his infallible sense of theater, Strauss was a genius dramaturg. And I think here he rearranges the book completely because the chapters appear in wrong order and seemingly in a random order. But what he makes out of it, he makes a perfect drama of a spectacle of the development of the human race from its lowest regions to the highest. But then you do understand through reading the text and then through relating this music to the music you know from other operatic Strauss, that in some places where he sounds ironic, he might in fact be absolutely sincere. So it is a very, very strange dichotomy between irony and sincerity of emotion. I think you should still avoid taking everything for the face value in this music, because a lot of it is meant ironically.
So how do you know whether the music is sincere or not? Is it because he's taking certain conventions and then leading them places they don't ordinarily go?
For instance, he would take a lyrical melody and then just pull, you know, a comedian gesture in the next page, and then you just left wondering which one was meant seriously.
When you say comedian gesture.
Well, I mean, there's this moment in the horns, which could be, you know, coming from Thilo Eulenspiegel. It's a typical jester's music. But it comes completely out of the blue after all this lyrical expansion. And I think the thing about this music, it's got multiple meanings. It can be seen this way, but it can also be seen under a slightly different angle. It's like the opera, Rosenkavalier. It's got both humor and irony and the lyricism and sincerity. And it's this in-between, this very, very strange fine line between the two, which makes the unique voice of Strauss.
So the music starts out, and it's so familiar because of the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, and people may conjure those images instead of perhaps what Strauss intended. Do we know what Strauss intended?
Well, he wrote about his general idea of it being a dedication to Nietzsche and it being a freely fantasized summary of the book. This is what he has taken from the book. But certainly, given that the book starts with Zarathustra addressing the sun, there is an obvious element of nature in it. And I think if you look at it from the musical point of view, it's the world being created. It's the Big Bang which creates the world from the single atom. It's an ingenious start. It's probably one of the best starts of any pieces ever written. And it's so simple, it's nearly primitive, but it works.
Well, thank you so much. We look forward to hearing it.
Well, we're looking forward to playing it for you.